For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of your own selves. It is a gift. God, we got to get this. It's a gift of God. What's the gift of God? Grace. Not of works, lest you become arrogant and get the big head. A bad translation. And verse number 10 says, for we are his workmanship. Poema in the Greek. That means we are his. That's where we get the word poem from. We are his work of art. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The abundant grace of God. Now, the Bible is replete. It speaks of the grace of God from cover to cover. No matter if you're reading in the Old Testament or you're reading in the New Testament, everything that we read in the Bible in some shape, form, or fashion speaks to the grace of God, especially as New Testament believers. Everything in the New Testament, just about from Matthew to Revelation, speaks about the abundant grace of God. For example, the prodigal son. We've all heard that in Luke 17, I believe it is, where Jesus gives this parable. He talks about the lost coin. He talks about the lost sheep. He talks about the lost shepherd. He talks about this boy who left home in disgrace. And he did his own thing, but when he came to himself, he received restoration grace. Man, and that speaks of how it is that God, even though we go our own way and we disgrace him sometimes, but when we come to ourselves and we turn and come back to God, God doesn't check us at the door, but the Bible says he ran and fell upon his neck. He ran and hugged his son. He received the grace of God that God welcomed him back home. Paul, in all of his letters, he would share with his readers that we represent grace. He would speak grace over the people and over their lives. And I thank God, my brothers and sisters, that I serve a God who is a God of all grace. No. I thank God that I don't subscribe to this theology that says that God is just this mean, hateful person that wants us to do everything right. And when we don't do it right, he kills us and he's wait to burn our house down and to stricken our body with disease. No, the Bible says that God is a God of all grace. He's rich in grace. He's abundant in grace. And he's always given us grace even in our desperate times of need. And when we discover this gift and what has been extended to us, we have a totally different attitude about God. We understand how God functions in our lives. Peter wrote in his letter to the church that God is a God of all grace. And once we receive the grace of God, we then can receive the peace of God. See, once you understand God's grace, there's a peace that comes into your life as a believer. It's going to make sense in a moment. There's a peace that begins to usher into your life where you are cool and collected even in some tough situations. Why? Because I have a revelation of grace. I have a revelation of grace. And God is saying, sometimes we trample over this. Sometimes we take his grace for granted. Sometimes even when we pray, as we are making petitions unto the Lord, we never ask for more grace. And he says this grace is so rich. This grace, watch this, is so abundantly available for you that every morning you wake up, you ought to thank God for his grace. Y'all ain't feeling this. I can tell when y'all feeling it, Beacon Light. And it's going to come clear. Because the grace of God is one of the most precious gifts that he's given to any Christian. You cannot have the religion of Christianity without grace. You take grace out the picture and we're no longer Christians. We don't believe like everybody else believe that I got to work myself into the family of God or work myself into the good favor of God. No, what we believe is that we work because of grace and we don't work for grace. It's just like in the house that I grew up in. I know some of y'all, you're so spoiled that when you grew up, you had something called allowance. Well, in my house, we ain't have no allowance. So when I had to wash the dishes and when I had to clean the room and when I had to cut the grass, it wasn't so I can get something. It's because they had already given me something. So when I used to tell my daddy that I don't get no allowance, you don't give me $40 a week like Stephen's daddy give him. And my daddy said, yes, I do. I allow you to stay in this house and I allow you to eat my food and I allow you to wear them clothes that I bought you. And so that's how we got to begin to see the grace of God, that the grace of God is him allowing us to function even when we can't pay the price, even when we don't have the power to do it in our life. The grace of God opens doors for you. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, I get allowance. Amen. I get allowance. Let me give you this definition, because we've heard this before. Grace, what is grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of the Lord. The unmerited favor of the Lord. Something you didn't merit. You didn't earn. God's helping hand. This is what I like to say, is when God helps us when we can't help ourselves. That's what grace is. I was sharing with the church at Haiti on this past Thursday, and I told them that the favor of the Lord, or the grace of God, is when God does special things for special people. And that's how you can tell how special you are, by all the special things that God does in your life. Do I have anybody in here this morning that you say, I must be special, because I know that there's some things that I get that I really don't deserve. I'm not better than anybody else. I don't do it better, but God just gives me some stuff that I really don't deserve. That's how you know you're walking in the grace and the favor of our God. It's when God helps us when we can't help ourselves. And this, my brothers and sisters, presents a problem with me when I look at the body of Christ. Because I can't understand for the life of me how we have so many Christians that struggle with the spirit of arrogance. I think it's a paradox to be arrogant and a Christian at the same time. Because the whole concept of Christianity means that God has given you something you don't deserve. And how in the world do you have the nerve to act like you're arrogant when God has given you something that you didn't even do anything to earn? Boy, that I believe that stench in the nostrils of God to see his child walking around so arrogant, as if you got it all together and you've done everything right and you checked every box. No, I don't mind telling you, I haven't done everything right. I haven't checked every box, but some kind of way the favor of God has just caused me to pass by some things, and the favor of God has caused me to skip some steps and get blessed anyway. And that's why I can be humble before God, because I understand grace has brought me thus far and grace is going to lead me on. How can you be a Christian and stuck up at the same time? How can you be a Christian and not speak to nobody? How can you receive the grace of God's love but don't have the love to give to somebody else? Y'all got to help me with that, because I don't understand people like that. And this is what happens to us when we don't recognize the grace of God in your life. Baby, them smarts that you have, that's the grace of God. That ability you have, that's not yours. That's the grace of God. And God is so patient with you. He's trying to get you to see it one day that it ain't you, but it's him. So why you didn't drop out of college like everybody else you started with? Why you didn't get pregnant like the crew that you was hanging with? Why you didn't get shot in the drive-by like your boys did? Why you? That's because the grace of God was on your life. And when I think about the grace of God and its effectiveness in getting me where I am, I can't come to church and don't say thank you. I can't come to church and don't praise him. I can't come to church and sit there and mean mug. No, I got to say, Lord, I thank you, because if it wasn't for your grace, where in the world would I be? Oh, somebody ought to thank him for his grace right now. I know you didn't think about that this morning when you rolled out of that bed, but somebody ought to say, Lord, thank you for your grace, because grace touched me this morning. Grace opened my eyes. Grace made a way for me. Everything you have, grace gave it to you. And sometimes, bro, when I'm sorry, bro, feel like I'm talking. You know, sometimes, man, it's like when you really start thinking about it, man, it just make you start shaking your head. Like, God, how do you do all of this for me? See, and when you really recognize grace, it caused you to fall in love with God. It caused you to say, man, I don't care what they think. I'm lifting my hands. I don't care what y'all think. I'm praying to my God. I don't care what you think. I'm telling him thank you, because I recognize I have a revelation of his grace in my life. I want to touch on today, in the time we have together to share. Somebody say, thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord. Don't complain about what you don't have, because I promise you, when you really weigh what you really do have. Okay, let me just share. I'm going to share three levels of grace. And there's we can stay here till Jesus come back and talk about grace. Because there's so much grace that God has given us. You know, and I ain't going to touch on all of it. He give us covering grace sometimes. And he gives you a grace to operate in foolishness. Just like the prodigal son. God gave him grace that he didn't kill himself when he was out there doing crazy things. And then when he came back, grace was right there to meet him. So I can really preach all night and day on grace, but I won't do that. But this is what the Lord told me to do. Three levels of grace that we should be thankful for. And I believe a portion of all of them are found right here in Ephesians chapter number 2. Because in Ephesians chapter number 2, Paul is letting the church at Ephesus know, don't get the big head. That's what he's saying. He's saying, watch, in the first couple of verses, because all y'all was just like the unsaved folks. All of us was on our way to hell looking forward to the trip. That's what he's saying. He's saying, don't get the big head and try to act like, you know, you so righteous. Like you got your card cut in the church. That disgusts me sometimes when we interviewing people and they're saying, well, how long you been saved? I've been saved all my life, praise the Lord. No, you haven't. No, all of us. He says, look what he says right here. Watch how graphic he gets. He says, in which you once walked, verse number 2, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves, what? In the lust of your flesh. Whatever your flesh wanted, your flesh got. Come on, don't look at me with that look in here today. Don't make me put on my prophetic mantle and begin to call you out. Because all of us was in a season where we just did crazy stuff. Fulfilling the desires of your flesh and your mind. Watch this. Flesh and your mind. And you were by nature, children of wrath, just like everybody else. No, you wasn't that much better. See, the problem is we like to throw stones, because if your little issue is not my issue, then you try to act like my issue bigger than your. No, he says everybody was children of wrath. You were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. See, you had all that against you. And then the next verse he says, but God. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love which he has for us, even when we was dead wrong. God, can you think about three times, it ain't that hard, in which you was dead wrong, but yet you still came out on top? That ain't because you so smooth. That ain't because you got it all together. Oh, y'all don't want to play on that part, huh? Yeah. That ain't because you so Johnny on the spot. No, that's because his grace was there. Dead wrong, Paul says. But you still kept your job. dead wrong, but he still held your family together. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Well, drop down to verse number 8. He says, for grace you have been saved through faith and not of your own selves. Would you help your neighbor out? Because they may be struggling. Touch him and tell him, it ain't about you. Can you help? Tell somebody else. Tell them, even if you got to go across the aisle. Help, tell them, Jesus said it ain't about you. You know, because we try to act like it's about that. Well, I'm the third presiding prelay over the usher committee and... It's not about you. Y'all know why I'm up here preaching? Because of his grace. I ain't trying to get you to believe in me. I'm a recipient of grace. I ain't the giver of grace. He says, not a works of any man, for we are his workmanship. We are his poem. We are his work of art. Mm-hmm. That a work of art starts out blank, starts out black, but God finishes a masterpiece out of something that is nothing. You're his workmanship. He's working on you. So how dare you get arrogant and you ain't even finished yet? How dare you get the big head and he ain't even signed his signature on it yet? He's just still fashioning you. Hallelujah. He says, watch this, that he's given us this, that in Christ Jesus, he's given it to us for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in, that he wants you to walk in good works. So why did he do that? Why did he want us to walk in good works? Because we bring forth the glory of God. Now, in order for us to walk in that good works that God has given unto us, he had to give us 3 levels of grace that I think we should all appreciate today, and we'll go home. Number one, he had to give us saving grace. Let the church say saving grace. See, he tells us that you didn't save yourself. You didn't deserve to be saved. There was nothing in you that warranted a holy and a righteous and an all-wise God to want to choose you, but he gave you something you did not deserve. Forgiveness of your sins. Saving grace. That's what salvation is all about. It's an unmerited, undeserving gift that God gave us. When he gave us Jesus Christ, Jesus was our grace gift. The salvific work of Calvary's cross was a gift to everybody. But the thing about a gift is, even when God gives it, you have to be willing to receive it. See, so everybody is not going to receive salvation. That's what the Bible says. I wish that all would be saved, that none would perish, but everybody's not going to receive it. But what happened was God gave you the gift of salvation so that your eyes would come open and see the big picture. Because there are so many people who have a lot of money, they have a lot of influence, they have a lot of talent, but they don't have salvation grace. Because with all that they have, they can't even see Jesus for who he is. Oh God, but God blessed you so that your eyes will come open and see the gift of grace that God has given you in and through Jesus Christ. So if you don't have anything else to bless God for, you can thank him for saving grace. That I'm not what I used to be. I'm not condemned to hell, but Jesus has set me free. Salvation grace. He had to give us a saving grace. There's a grace that you need to cause you to come to Christ. People say, oh, when I found Jesus, man. No, you didn't find Jesus because Jesus wasn't lost. Jesus found you. Jesus found you. You know what he did? He touched you with grace. Just like he did that prodigal son. And you said, man, I got to get my life together. Because you was operating in foolishness for so long and couldn't even see it. You thought everybody else was hating on you when they was trying to tell you, man, you need to get your life together. You need to stop doing that. But then God touched you one day, and now the stuff you used to enjoy, you start hating it. The stuff that you used to be proud of, now you're ashamed of. I can't tell you that story anymore, because when I think about the grace of God, that embarrasses me. See, saving grace. That's what he says. He says, for by grace you have been saved. See, that's the first level of grace that every one of us as Christians receive. We receive saving grace. That if you're in here today and you're saved because of grace, not because you kept all the commandments. See, religious people want to know, how many prayers do I need to pray to get saved? How much money do I need to give to get saved? How many times do I need to come to church to get saved? No, we don't believe in a works religion. We believe in a grace religion, that all you have to do is receive the grace of God. And then when you receive the grace of God, you'll know when you need to pray. You'll know when you need to give. You'll know when you need to come to church, because that's what salvation grace does for you. All right, move on. Because see, that's the baseline. He gives us saving grace. We thank him for that. But then he gives us something else called sufficient grace. Sufficient grace. Let me show you this. You're in Ephesians. Go back two books to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Everybody say sufficient grace. Watch this. Watch this. Because all of you in this room didn't experience sufficient grace before. Watch this. Everybody in here today didn't experience sufficient grace. Watch this. Paul having this conversation with God in verse number 7. Look what he says. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, lest I get the big head, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now, he don't tell what this thorn is, but the Bible says that Paul has something, and he described it as something that kept pulling at him. Something that kept causing pain in his life. He said, I had this little thorn that was in my flesh. And every one of you in this room today, you have a thorn in your flesh. Watch this. And look what he says now. He did what all of us good, saved Christian people ought to do. He says, concerning this, I prayed to the Lord three times. Take it away, Lord. Take it away, Lord. Turn it around, Lord. Get me out of this, Lord. Deliver me from this, Lord. Set me free from this, Lord. But sometimes when you pray, God doesn't give you an answer to your prayers. Sometimes when you pray, just like Paul did, he says, I asked him three times, and he said to me, you know what, Paul? I ain't gonna take it away. I'm gonna give you the grace to go through it. And see, some of you in this room, don't act like all your prayers are answered. No, sometimes you be asking God to take you out. God don't take you out, but he give you the grace to go through. He give you sufficient grace. Oh, God. And I want to let you know today, you have a grace to deal with whatever you're dealing with right now. That if God did not remove it from you, if God did not take it out of you, then God is giving you what you need to beat that thing. That if he don't heal a cancer, he's going to give you what you need to go through the cancer. If he don't get you out of the situation, he's going to give you what you need to go through.